Live in the moment, because the moment's all you have. Live in the moment for the next moment, for the next personality that you will meet, for the next problem that you will have. For you see, when you live in the moment, you're living in the moment with Christ. Jesus knew every moment that you and I would have breath in our body. He knows when each one of us are to be born, and he knows when we're going to be taken from this body to be with him in eternity. The Christian cannot die. Let me say it again. The Christian cannot die. At that moment that you will witness any one of us and taking, well, he took his last breath. Yeah, but it was an awesome breath I took on the other side. It's called passing on or passing over. Christians don't die. They live with their Savior. The Savior who says, I love you. Do you know that Jesus loves you just like you are? That Jesus didn't tell you to clean your act up and he would save you. He said, if you believe in me, I will save you. And I will give you direction with your life, and I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. There'll never be a time. There hasn't been a time in your existence or mine to where Jesus walked away from us. What, we made him so angry? No, listen. When Jesus saved you, it's the new covenant that we're going to be talking about all this month. Jesus came to make sure you understand there's a new covenant. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you say yes to Jesus, you have that peace that only Jesus can give you. It is the peace that God lays on your heart. He just says, I love you this much. So I told you, you got a story? So does Jesus. Let's look at it. We're focusing on the prophecy, hope. Hope is about promises of today, hope for tomorrow. Hope is a part of your spiritual conviction. Hope is a part of that spirit that Christ places in your life, to where it doesn't matter how bad things are right now, you hang on to that hope, because I guarantee you it'll be better. When you give it to Jesus, he's the best friend you will ever have. And I guarantee you, he always fights your battles for you. We waste too much time in being angry. We waste way too much time in wanting to get back. Get back at what? More misery? How about love? How about peace? How about joy? That almost sounds like Christmas. Amazing, isn't it? The prophets, they proclaim the king is coming. Jesus, the king of the new covenant. Listen to Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Remember, it's all about Jesus' story. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, out of bondage. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. What a covenant. I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. People always so worried. Well, you know, I know, but I've got to get through that gate. That drives your pastor crazy when I hear people saying that. Yes, but you know, I've got these sins, and what if they're thrown down before me when I'm getting ready to walk through the pearly gates? Ah, nothing biblical about that. Sins are forgiven, never to be brought up again. Here's one for you. This is Jesus' story. Because of what he did, that's the reason that you and I will have no remembrance whatsoever in our glorified state of any wrongful things done against us by our fellow man. There's no such thing as sin to remember. If Jesus put it as far as the east is from the west, do you think that you're going to remember anything? Jesus says, that's it. Now welcome to my paradise. I'm coming so that you can have life everlasting. I'm coming to bring you peace in the midst of trial and tribulation. I'll bring you peace. Jesus, the scripture says, through the prophets, would be the cornerstone of the Christian life. That solid, monolithic stone that is set there, can't be broken, holding up your life, giving you the wisdom, giving you the strength, giving you the courage on a moment-to-moment basis. You know why it's moment to moment? You only promise this moment. I'm not promised the next breath. I'm promised this one. So what am I going to do with it in this moment? And the prophets proclaimed and the prophets told the facts about who God is. I am your Savior. I've come. For what? To save you and you and you. Well, Lord, what must I do? Believe, believe, believe. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't you dare let other preachers or denominations or anything else pull you away from the statement of Christ himself. Whoever comes, I will in no wise cast out. Well, that's a welcome, isn't it? That's my hero. He takes me. Larry, I'll take you just like you are. And he been cleaning on me ever since I was born. Because he loves me and you. There's a purpose for your life. Don't you dare shorten it. Don't you dare criticize yourself to the point to where you don't see yourself as being good enough to be saved. Well, folks, it's a focus that Jesus was good enough to save us. Salvation is of the Lord, not of you. You think you're going to work your way to heaven, buy your way to heaven, or do anything to get to heaven other than through the name of Jesus? You're wrong. That's the prophecy. That's the story. 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8. For in Scripture, it says, this is in Isaiah 28:16. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him, listen to me, will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Still in charge. And a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the message, which is also what they were destined for. Okay. God says, I will present my love to every heart that's beating, whether in the womb or out of the womb. I will present my message. I am your Savior. Whoever calls on me will be saved. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you in distress. I'll send somebody else that's got the skin like you have to minister to you. I will send my people. And the key is, we're his people. Listen, folks. I am an adopted Jewish child. I'm adopted into the family of God. Jesus was a Jew. I am a child of the King and a brother to the Savior of the world. As God looks at you and looks at me, here's your important fact to take about that. God's people cannot be destroyed by God's enemy. You, Christian, cannot be destroyed by Satan himself. You can't do that. That can't happen because God is in control. The prophets painted a very gruesome physical picture of the person of Jesus. Now let's get this part right too. This is his story. Let's get it right. The scripture lets us know there was nothing unusual about Jesus. I can tell you this. He wasn't a blonde with blue eyes. He was Jewish. Human being. But he, Jesus, looked like all the other average people. People, the religious leaders were upset. Why? They wanted a king that would come. He would come riding on a great horse, not on a donkey. He would be announced by kings and princes. What? Not to shepherds? Remember? I've taught it and I've told you. Shepherds were individuals that weren't even allowed to go to church. They couldn't go in the temple. They couldn't even testify in court. That's how despised they were. Who did God go to, send his son to, the notice of his coming? To the ones that the world counted as nothing. God Almighty gave them a sign, a star. You see this? They saw it. Let me tell you where the king is. He's born in a stable. Now, the wise men didn't show up at that time. They showed up 2 years later. But it was the shepherds coming off the hills to see the Christ child in a manger. It's the shepherd. So despised, God chose. And when you look at yourself and you say, there can be no good in me, God sees the good. You can't say there's no good in you. Those of you who are watching, those who are listening, those who are here, the goodness is in who Christ is in you. You've been given an opportunity to live in this world and given an opportunity to glorify God in just your living. But my living's messed up. But it glorifies God when He cleans it up, doesn't it? And then sometimes you say, well, I don't know what it takes for me to get cleaned up. Maybe you're not as dirty as you think. Maybe your personality is that personality just like the prophets that God's going to use to touch the life of another lost person. Just maybe. God got this figured out before you were ever born. Just maybe. One day, you'll get it through your thick skull. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one, to Him be known. They are weak, but He is strong. What a song and what a story. It's Jesus' story. He grew up before Him in Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. 700 years before Jesus is born. Listen to it. He grew up before Him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. I told you. He looked just like every other American. I was listening to one this morning on TV, a story they were telling. Said, I believe that Jesus could have been a giant. I thought, where in the world did that one come from? He was despised and rejected by men. They're still doing that, you know. A man of sorrows, meaning he hung out with people that were hurting. Oh, what a horrible place to hang out. Go in the ditch of life, Larry. See who's hurting down there. Show them hope. Give them a hand. Show them the way. Shine the light of Christ. And let them know He is their forgiveness. And He was familiar with suffering, I'd say. Like one from whom men, now listen to this one, hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not, or we didn't lift Him up. Now, you know what, that's a prophecy of Him on the cross. Do you know that what He took for you and me? Then you picture this. Well, think for a moment about your own sins. I know you don't like to do that, but you think for a moment about your own sins, and then you having to suffer on a cross for just those sins. Jesus went to the cross for the sins of everyone who would have ever been created or who ever shall be born. And if they believe, He went there taking all of their sins and paying the penalty for it. Now, you talk about pain? No, you can't imagine that. But Jesus loves you and me so much that He couldn't imagine us having to do it. He loved us too much. You love that child so much that you don't even want to see them scratched. We helicopter parents, you know how we are. Don't let them fall. We'd wrap them in that bubble paper if we could when we send them out. Have armed guards around them. Don't need it. They have Jesus. And Jesus pays attention. We have a story. Let that story be seen by the world through your actions in expressing God's love to them. Psalm 69, verses 7 and 8. Listen to him. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. Not his shame, our shame covers his face. I am a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons. Jesus had half brothers and sisters. Yes, he did. Not a one of them believed. Not a one of them believed until after the resurrection. They scorned him and threw shameful remarks against him. His own family. It was afterwards they said, uh-oh, he is who he claims to be. That's the story about Jesus. The prophet said that Jesus would protect his children like a shepherd protects his sheep. Again, that was detestable to the Pharisees, the big teachers of his day. Shepherds? Oh, that's who he belongs to. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock. You're the flock that belongs to Jesus. I'm the shepherd of this particular flock to watch over and make sure you're fed the proper diet. Scriptural word of God. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Let me read something to you. Again, this is all about telling the story this month. Let me read something to you for you to understand on this. In Holy Scripture, the birth of Jesus, his first advent or his first coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ is the greatest single theme in Scripture. While there are approximately 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that foretold the first coming of Christ, there are more than 8 times as many verses describing his second coming. In total, some 2,400 verses throughout the Old and New Testament reveal God's promise about the return of Jesus Christ. 2,400. Jesus is coming again. Yes, he is. And he's coming to take us to be with him. He's coming because he promised he would. Not going to leave you. You haven't been left. You're doing just fine. Hang in there. Express your love one for another, always through the heart of Christ himself. That's the word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, asking your special blessing and the joy, dear Lord God, that only you can bring. We ask now, Father, as you touch our life, that you will give us the wisdom, dear Lord God, the strength to be able, dear Heavenly Father, to follow you in all that we do. Help us, Father, to be the servant you called us to be. Courage, give us strength. Let us have mercy on one another. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.